We Talk Podcast presents...
What it is! What it do! Welcome to the One Fall Podcast, brought to you by We Talk Podcast and Stick Boy, with your host Joshua Adam, William Arbuthnot, with the... to my baby face, Mr. Joel Johnson.
How's it going?
It's going good, Joel. Interesting week in pro wrestling. It's almost the week of heat in some scenarios.
Yeah.
But we'll get to that. Let's talk about something that we have been waiting for almost 2 years for. CM Punk will fight in an octagon on Saturday. Or will he?
And fun fact, if Twitter has not misguided me, he's fighting in the same building that he quit the WWE in.
Well, isn't that fantastic?
Just irony of it all. That's why he held up for 2 years. He wanted to be in the same arena that he told Vince to go.
But things aren't already looking bad for Punk because he may not make his weight even.
This seems to be, like, he, in a lot of ways, CM Punk, Phil Brooks, is the underdog for this card. He is, his back's against the wall, his age.
Nobody believes in him. We don't believe in him. Let's put on the, neither one of us think he's gonna win.
No, I have doubts. But you know what? This is a guy that you gotta tip your hat to him. He's taking a chance. He's taking a risk. He left his comfort zone. He could have easily gone and made lots of money over in Japan. He could have made tons of money for our wage. He could have been part of Bola. He could have done all these things. And he could have been quite happy just being like, screw you, Vince. I'm going to make a ton of money elsewhere.
Yep.
But he went and did something completely off the walls.
He's going to lose it really quick.
I don't know. I think that it's going to be very interesting. This is a guy that's been through a lot in his life. And I just don't know if he goes down...
He's not making all three rounds.
I don't think he makes all three rounds, but I don't think he's going to go down without a fight. And
No, I agree with that, but do you think he gets out of the first round?
I think he gets out of the first round, at least.
If he loses in, like, let's say he loses in 15 seconds, it's over, right? Like, Dana can't re-sign him.
No, God, no. They have a multi-fight deal with him. I can see them at least turning one more up, because I think he's going to draw in viewership. He's going to draw in attention. Both sides of the spectrum are going to want to watch this fight. There are the people that are going to be like, well, we want to see him get killed in that octagon. And there's going to be those other fans that are like, go CM Punk, go, we believe in you. And there's going to be the fans that are like, you don't like the look of this, but we're going to sit here and watch and support you, Punk. So
it's the closest thing that UFC's had to a Bellator type of situation.
Yeah.
Where Bellator likes to get the kind of publicity acts. Go with, like, the Kimbo Slices and the Ken Shamrocks and the older Gracies of the world. This is them with Punk. It's the publicity stunt. It's the former longest-running in the modern era WWE champion, one of the most known guys in the modern era of WWE, the guy that almost overtook Cena for that brass ring, CM Punk, the guy that made news, huge news, the way that he quit the WWE. So his name is out there. People know who he is. People have been talking about this for a year, and now it's finally like, let's all go. And I mean, the best out of all this is Mickey Gall, who is pretty much an unknown, is going to make a name out of this for himself if he wins this. And maybe he doesn't even deserve to be put to the level he's going to be if he beats CM Punk. But all of a sudden, he's going to be put in with someone major if he wins this match.
Oh, yeah. His stock's on the rise. But did you hear? He wanted to come out to the 80s song... Hey Mickey, you're so, like, I don't know the song.
Hey Mickey, you're so fine.
Yeah,
you're so fine.
Come out to that, yeah. And yeah. Dane and them shot it down and said, we need something harder for you.
Not fun.
I thought that just shows that maybe UFC kind of suffers. Maybe it's not just Vince McMahon. Maybe everyone kind of loses.
That sounds like an NFL situation.
Yeah.
Like, of not letting people have fun.
Yeah. And I think that would have got over with the crowd huge.
Oh man, would it have ever? Like, we don't know what Punk is coming out to yet, do we?
No. But
we're assuming it'll be to his
one of the titles of the episode for his evolution of Punk is Cult of Personality, so...
We are assuming, though, it's going to be his buddy from Rancid. We'll do something, though, we're assuming.
Yeah, but I would be very happy if he came out to Cult of Personality. I think that's the big deal.
I mean, we thought Brock was going to come out to his song, and he came out to Metallica, Enter the Sandman. As much as I love to see him come out to Cult of Personality, I almost think he is so defined by that song that he needs to just kind of do a 360 and change up his persona.
Yeah, and it's he kind of has that similar Punk traits that you're like, oh yeah, that's Punk. Yep, recognize that from a mile away, like what he presents on the screen. So
I think the unfortunate thing about this is well, the evolution of Punk has been great. I've only watched two out of the four so far going into this episode that we're doing today, and I don't think you've watched any, Joel.
I've watched bits and pieces of it. It's hard. My life's hard to watch the evolution of Punk. I want to. It looks like it's a really well done, put together.
Yeah, it's okay.
So,
but like we thought we're gonna get some great promos and build. Like there has been no promos really to build up to this fight. It's just like, here's the fight. Enjoy. We'll see him Punk get knocked out right away. We'll see him Punk last the whole. One round, two rounds, three rounds. Will he win? It's more just what will Punk do? Mickey Gall really has no pressure on him. If he loses, though, then Mickey Gall, I don't know what's going to happen with him. Yeah, but all the pressure is really on Punk right now.
Yeah, Punk has to deliver. And it's going to be very interesting to see how it goes for both these guys, because there's a lot of potential for both these guys if they win. But if they both have everything to gain and everything to lose at the same time, because even though there's no pressure on Mickey Gall, he loses to Punk. That devalues his stock.
Yeah, because he's going in there as the heavy, heavy favorite.
Yeah.
CM Punk is the underdog. And, like, all CM Punk has to do is kind of do what Brock did with Frank Mir, right?
Yeah.
He just got to look good and look like, oh, he belongs in this sport. All Punk has to do is belong. If he wins, that's just a bonus. Winning isn't an objective that needs to happen for Punk in this fight. He just needs to look like he belongs. If he looks like he belongs, then Dane and everyone will be like, all right, cool. He looked like he belonged.
Yep.
He's got work to do, but he looked like he belonged, and he'll gain the respect of the UFC fans and the fighters. But if he gets knocked out in that first round, that's where everything kind of gets interesting.
Yeah, it's going to be very interesting, the before, during, and especially the after. With whatever fallout comes from this fight, there's going to be a lot of, you're going to be thinking a lot about how this is all going to play out for both these men. This is probably the most interest we've been in a single fight in a long time since Brock.
Well, Connor and Diaz, so been about a month.
Yeah. But this should be a fair bit of fun. Like, and I mean, this fight has been 2 years in the making. So it's been a build that we've been waiting for, and we're finally gonna get to see it. Predictions, Josh. Round.
Man. So here's the thing. Long answer for a short for what should be a short one. I'm rooting for Punk for sure. It's just. MMA it's like any sport, right? You just can't jump right into it, you know? If this was Swagger, for example, it's a guy that we always point to. Even if this was Shelton Benjamin, I'd be like, well, they have the wrestling pedigree in the background. Punk doesn't have any of that, and, you know, he hasn't even been straight training all this time, too. You got to remember, he's been down with injuries for a good portion of it as well.
Yeah.
And you hear the stories in training camp that he's selling sometimes, and that's got to be a hard thing to lose. Like, for Brock, it probably wasn't as hard, but for Punk, that's all he's known is pro wrestling, so he's used to selling.
Yeah.
Look, man, I don't want to say it, but I think he's going to get knocked out in the first round.
Yeah. I think it's a TKO. I think it's a stoppage, and likely in the second round.
Actually, you know what? I don't think he's getting knocked out. I think he's getting choked out. I think he's gonna leave something open, and Mickey will jump right all over it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's several ways to finish a fight. So
because I agree with you on the knockout thing, I don't think he would get knocked out because he'll protect himself in that area. But again, with me talking about, like, he hasn't been as good as protecting himself and whatnot. Like, I think that leaves a lot of opening in the evolution of Punk. From the scraps that I've seen, a lot of guys have been able to get easy shots in on him.
And
like he's okay at attacking. From what I've, again, these are just sparring sessions too, right? These guys aren't giving him 100% like Mickey Gall is going to give him 100%. And in all fairness, Mickey Gall is a rookie. We don't know how good of a fighter he is either.
Yeah.
We just know this is someone that is a fighter, right? That has the right background to be a fighter. And Punk just doesn't have it, you know? I think it would almost be easier to jump onto an NBA D League team than to jump right into the Octagon, to be completely honest. Because you can learn basketball. You always see those players from Africa, right? That learn the game at 16 years old and kind of learn and develop, and they can kind of do some basic things and just be a center and stand under the hoop, right?
Yeah.
This, you have to know a multitude of things. You have to have some jiu-jitsu. You have to have some wrestling, but not the kind of wrestling that he has. And I don't know, man. I'm hoping I'm wrong. And obviously, I've admitted when I'm wrong about situations on here. You've admitted when you're wrong about situations on here. But I will be rooting for him, and I will be hoping so much that I'm wrong. But I don't think it's going to be pretty for him.
No, I don't disagree. Like I think you'll. My gut tells me it's second round if a Gall comes out. Punk may shock us all. It could very much happen. So we'll.
What do you have him? As I fill my water bottle and distort all the audio for everybody, I apologize. What do you have him going out by, TKO or submission?
TKO.
Okay, so you have him going to the second round.
I'll be a little more generous.
I think that's a little more possible. Maybe he surprises us and goes to the second round, but yeah, I don't know, man. It's going to be interesting. Again, I'm going to be rooting for him. I do think even if he does get knocked out, you're right, Joel, I still think he gets one more fight. But I don't know how much the desire will be there to see him again from the crowd.
Yeah.
Like, if he gets knocked out in the first 30 seconds, I say, or tapped out in the first 30 seconds, I do believe Dana gets him a fight, right?
Yeah.
One more chance. But I think the draw for him will be way down.
Oh, yeah. And that he'll have to claw his way back, but he's the type of guy that would be more than willing to claw his way back, so.
So let's just go scenarios here. If he loses, and let's say he does the other fight and he loses again, so let's say that's by February. So we're looking around February where he could be cut from the UFC possibly. What's out there for him then? Do you think he tries acting, or do you think he jumps back in the world of wrestling? Not WWE, but, you know, you mentioned Japan, Ring of Honor, et cetera, et cetera.
I think Punk will go away for a little bit, to be completely honest.
Yeah, I agree too.
He'll go away. Him and AJ will spend some time. And I don't know what would be next for CM Punk after the UFC.
I don't really see him wrestling in Japan, to be honest.
I don't either. I could definitely see, at one point, him showing up at an ROH show.
Maybe that. But to me, as much as he has his beef with WWE, he kind of seems like Chris Jericho to me, when Jericho left. Where it's a guy that he won't settle for anything less than the best.
Yeah.
And I don't see him. I see Ring of Honor as a possibility because of relationships there, but I don't think he would go back to anywhere other than WWE to wrestle because he wants to be in the top spot.
Yeah.
And that relationship is frosty right now. We know, talked last week about the lawsuit, and we'll see where that's going. Maybe things can get cleared up. I'm going to be interested to see if anybody in that WWE family wishes him luck on Twitter or anything this week. That will be very interesting. I think it's doubtful, but that will be interesting to keep a lookout if anyone wishes him good luck in his fight this week on Twitter.
Yeah, it's going to be very interesting how it's all handled. I don't know quite how everything's going to play out, but the conversation of CM Punk will never truly stop.
No.
It will always morph into something.
I would think, like, you got to think that the WWE, in a way, is rooting for him to win because it makes their product look better.
Yeah.
that one of our guys beat one of their guys. Whenever they get that, they're ecstatic. They're not going to talk about it on Raw, obviously, but you know they're going to be happy. Like, oh, here's a guy that we trained. Then that, you know, the way they look at stuff, right? Here's a guy that we trained, had no mixed martial art background, and he beat one of your guys.
Yeah.
That's the way they'll look at it.
Oh, yeah. And that's how WWE likes to look at things, so it would not be shocking at all.
And it would be interesting to see if Punk wins, where other guys that maybe were on the fringe of wanting to jump into that, where they go. Like a Jack Swagger. MVP has really pushed Shelton Benjamin trying to go down that way. You know, guys like that, maybe some guys like that are like, well, maybe if Punk could do it, then obviously with my amateur background, maybe I could jump into it.
Yeah.
We'll see. Swagger's the one that jumps out to both of us, and we've constantly talked about.
Oh, yeah.
And they're not really doing anything with him, and I believe he's just signed a new contract, too.
I haven't heard anything on a contract with him, so...
Well, I guess the one thing with Swagger is just job security, hey?
Yeah.
Keep getting them checks, I guess.
When you're getting paid, nothing wrong with it.
There's also a big heavyweight match with Overeem and Mirotic. We don't know nearly enough about that fight, so we're not going to comment on it.
No. There's the one fight that we're worried about, and then after that, everything's gravy.
I'm sure the heavyweight fight will be good. I mean, it's in the champ's hometown, so that'll be really cool for him, you know. But aside from that, we're just really focused on the CM Punk fight.
Yeah, just a little fight on the card. Don't worry about it.
What do you want to go to next? Wednesday, Tuesday, or Monday?
Let's start with Monday. Let's work our way through the week.
Sure.
So let's talk about that.
Let's talk about that promo.
Yeah, that generated a lot of I can see because there's not so much from what I've read. There's not so much heat on Sasha. There's heat on WWE and the creative for having it handled in such a way with a year that had guys like Bryan retire
and Tyson Kidd's injury.
Yeah,
and Edge. And it's funny though. Like, I think that's kind of hypocritical of the locker room, right? Because all of them probably loved when Mark did it.
See, the difference is Mark didn't have an injury.
Fair.
That was the biggest thing. This was
fair,
tied
fair point.
To,
fair point.
This was tied to an injury.
It was bizarre how they did it. Because, you know, you and I were texting back and forth during the show, and as it went later and later on, not only you and I, but the IWC itself started to get more and more concerned. Because, like, why is this Sasha segment going so late? If this had just been in the first hour, people wouldn't have thought about it, right?
Oh, no.
But it was, I believe, the second-to-last segment?
Yep.
So people were getting really, really worried that she was going to retire. And then people kept on hearing stuff about the neck that Benoit and Edge and Kurt and Austin and et cetera had. And it really got a lot of worries in people's minds.
Oh, yeah. Like, I think wrestling fans' imaginations run a little too wild at times.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think there was a lot of solid concrete evidence of where that segment was going. And in hindsight, we should have been kind of like, yeah, this is probably a work.
Mm-hmm.
But the imagination runs wild. And in a year where Bryan has to retire, and that's still brought up to this day and still talked about whether he's going to leave or what's the deal with Daniel Bryan.
And we still don't know what happened with Tyson Kidd.
Yeah, so you live in a lot of unknowns. This Sasha thing definitely kind of hit a nerve, and I mean, Tyson Kidd and Daniel Bryan are universally loved in that locker room.
Yeah, as a Sasha.
Yeah, so I think that it was just a raw nerve that was touched that I don't think they needed to handle it the way they did. I don't think they needed to tease a retirement angle with Sasha.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, wasn't she on Raw a week or two ago talking about coming back? And
she was on last week on the pre-show, and then they showed it on the main show.
Yeah, so it just kind of seemed like just something that to work the crowd in a little bit of a frenzy, especially the IWC. Looking at it now, and kind of looking at it, I'm kind of like, it's okay, but at the same time, I think you could have done this differently.
Mm-hmm.
But I think there's definitely going to be a little bit of bitterness with creative's not exactly the favorite for most talents, so this just kind of adds one more reason.
My favorite was that a veteran called the decision by creative was that of a drunk donkey.
Yeah.
Which was like, all right, that's an interesting way to go by it, but okay.
Yeah. Creative gets a lot of trouble and heat. But I did recently hear Vince was not happy with how Raw was handled this week. He was not happy with the overall product. And he's feeling some nerves about heading into against Monday Night Football. You're not going to beat Monday Night Football. It's just the way it is.
Yeah, we've both kind of been on that part. And by the way, at the end, like we do every year, Joel and I will be going over the games that they will be facing, and we'll say the harder ones and the easier ones for them to go against. But we'll be doing that at the end of the podcast.
Quite frankly, I don't care about any NFL games. I'm like, meh, they're there. I'm going to watch my wrestling. I'm one of those. But for you, this is a little bit more.
I mean, let's be honest. We want it. I'll be very clear right now. We're doing this podcast early Thursday morning. We would have liked to done Delete vs. Decay, but I will be covering the Thursday night game for Fresh Take, and hence no Delete vs. Decay.
Which I have heard nothing but positive things about. Everyone's talking it's must-see, so.
Is it on?
Apparently, Lance Storm seen and said it was must-see, and I usually trust Lance Storm, so.
Well, if it's online right now.
No?
If it's online right now. No, I'm gonna just see. So you see, if it's online right now, it's not, though.
No.
But if it was, I was like, all right, well, let's take 15 minutes and watch it really quickly, because we're all for reviewing it.
Oh, yeah. Like, it would be great, but it hasn't popped up yet, so.
No. So, anyways.
Back to roping it back to where we were. Vince is very nervous about things. Vince feels like he needs to start picking from NXT a little bit more.
So. Yeah, I mean, they need something. Well, let's just get to really quickly. If we're not going to go over all the games right now, but since we're on that topic right now, we may as well talk about who they're playing, who they're going against this coming weekend. We can discuss the kind of things they're going to have to do, and then at the end, we'll be talking again. Again, Joel doesn't really care. Joel will be watching Monday night, but I'm a view. It's kind of good in a way, Joel, because you're a viewer that's going to be watching wrestling no matter what.
Oh, yeah.
I'm a viewer that's going to be watching football, no matter what. So what can they do to sway me over?
Yeah.
So the Monday night games this week, I mean, they're not – it's okay. You have Pittsburgh versus Washington. So Pittsburgh's a Super Bowl favorite this year, and Washington's a big market. The NFC North champs of their division last year. And then, you know, the evening game isn't great. It's the L.A. Rams versus San Francisco, but it's the first time the L.A. Rams will be the L.A. Rams. And you have all the Kaepernick stuff.
Yeah.
And that's a bigger draw than anything will be on Raw, is if Kaepernick sits or stands.
Yeah, I'm not even touching that. I'm walking away.
No, no, we're not going to talk about the wrestling podcast. I'm just saying that's something that people will be turning in for that night.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. But I'm definitely going to.
For sure. We're not going to get political on this right now. But, so, you know, two games that are polarizing for different reasons. So, I mean, yeah, if you all of a sudden had Samoa Joe or Nakamura pull up, I'd be like, screw this Kaepernick thing. What's going on with Nakamura?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. My only thing is I don't think they'd do anything like that, and it's a shame. It would draw people in, but do you really want Vince to go, okay, let's bring Joe or Nock in, and then you're like, okay, where are we going with him? I don't know. We just need to pop today's ratings. Do you really want a situation like that? That's the only hesitation I have. It'd be great to see them on TV. But I'd much rather see them on TV with direction. We've seen this with, and I'm going to jump a little around here, we've seen this with Cruz. Cruz could have used a little bit more time in NXT, but they called him up. And he's had
two guys, sorry to interrupt, but those are two guys that I mentioned, Nock and Joe, that are ready.
Oh, yeah, they're 100% ready. My only thing is, and this is why I go to Cruz, is Cruz has no direction.
He's a jobber to me, man. He's no. What's the difference between Cruz and Jinder Mahal to you right now?
Cruz is a little bit flashier in the ring, and he's better in the ring.
That's it. That's it. I know just as much about both of them.
Yeah, and that's the problem. And, like, Knock and Joe are two different animals, and they could definitely thrive on that roster.
Yeah.
I just don't want them to be put in any sort of situation similar to Cruz, where we're just bringing them in just because.
Yeah, no, I agree with you in that. I mean, I think Baron Corbin suffered from that, too, although Corbin was a guy I think was ready and that you and I knew would never really be a big staple on the main roster.
Oh, yeah. And it's shining through right now.
And they kind of have the Corbin replacement in NXT with now with Steve Cutler, who's an absolute joke, but he kind of seems like Baron Corbin light.
Yeah. You always got to fill those spots, and you're going to either get the light, or you're going to get a better version, or you're going to get something similar.
Yeah, NXT likes to have their toys. Like, Hunter has his random toys down there, too,
yeah.
Much like Vince does. Like, the Drifter, I haven't seen forever now. And
he's
seeing
hurt.
Almost... Oh, is he? Okay. That's why. Cien Almas is turning into kind of the Apollo Crews version of NXT, where we just don't know much about him, and he's a great talent in the ring, but we don't know anything about him, and he's just losing all the time and losing his value.
Yeah.
And Apollo kind of felt like that in NXT, too, to be honest. He was just kind of there, and they never really developed anything for him. They messed around. Like, he had that flip powerbomb, the flip for the finisher, and then he went to the powerbomb, but he never really felt like anything. He felt like he needed to have a feud with Joe, but he had a feud with Joe for like 2 weeks, or maybe take on Nakamura, but he never really had the big feud at NXT that you really cared about.
Yeah, and that's one thing that, again, that's why in a lot of ways you need to have direction for everyone. And that was one thing that, at least in the Attitude Era, for the most part, someone always had something to do.
Yeah, and that's the one thing I'll always give Russo credit for, is...
You just have to say his last name, don't worry.
I know. That I'll give Russo credit for is he had Scotty Tuhati, D'Lo Brown, and Draws, all with just as much to do as The Rock and Austin.
Yeah, and that was the one thing where I think Cruz just needs a good storyline and just needs that little bit of character development. Nakamura and Joe, if you want to have them in to battle Monday Night Football,
mm-hmm.
you need to have a direction with them. Joe's going here.
Mm-hmm.
Or Nock's going here.
I'm more concerned if Joe went to Raw for him being lost to Nakamura.
Yeah.
Because Joe, to me, needs to be in the right show. He's so good right now, they need to book him right. Nakamura, is that entrance alone is going to get him over. It's like what Finn had, right?
Yeah.
Finn was going to get over just from the charisma and the entrance. Joe is an ass kicker, and they have one of those right now. They have two. They have Brock and they have Kevin Owens. So that's why.
And Strowman.
Yeah. So Joe is so much better on SmackDown, but I worry that, like, well, we have Samoa Joe as a name. People will mark out for Samoa Joe.
Yeah. Because
really, you have five talents, six talents, if you kind of take team down there in NXT that are ready for the main roster right now. Joel, tell me if I'm wrong. So you have Nakamura and Joe.
Yep.
Bobby Roode.
Yep.
Austin Aries.
Yep.
Asuka.
Yep.
And the Revival.
Yep.
The Revival aren't going to pop a rating, but for let's just say for even the wrestling fans that are as deep as I am, but are still going to watch football over wrestling and put Raw on PVR. Hearing something like The Revival is going to be like, oh, okay, well, shit, I'll go over to Raw really quick because The Revival's there.
Yeah.
But do you think maybe a scenario will be maybe dipping into the cookie jar a little bit and looking for those Carlitos and those MVPs still, or are we past that now?
I think that the offers are going to change for some of these. Because, I mean...
Because they were too low, right?
Yeah, that was the biggest thing, where they were too low. I think the offers go up a little bit, and they mm-hmm. re-offer them and see what happens, but...
Here's my question to you, Joel. Would you really... Would you just kind of just take your lumps and be like, look, let's just build guys up. We're going to lose to football no matter what we do. We're going to go down our ratings. Let's just build our guys up. And by the time the Royal Rumble January comes, we have all this great stuff built up. And then people will come back and be like, oh, yeah, wrestling's back. Sweet.
Yeah. And I think that's the direction they need to go.
Just don't worry about football. Football's going to beat you. The shows that are on the networks are going to beat you. Just don't worry about it. Worry about January.
Oh, yeah. I totally agree. The focus needs to be on building your own talent, your own set of guys. Strowman, build him up. take these guys and build them up again, and build them up and support them, and let them grow, and let them naturally gain whatever it is you're trying to get them to gain. Help them, like Corbin. We haven't seen a whole lot in SmackDown.
Mm-hmm. No,
give them some more. Let them run with it a little bit. What's the worst that's going to happen? Especially with football, where you're going to lose. It doesn't matter if Kevin Owens is the champion. It doesn't matter if Sami Zayn's the champion.
Doesn't matter if Roman's the champion.
Yeah. None of these names matter.
It wouldn't matter if Cena was the champion, let's be honest.
Oh, yeah, no. None of this would change.
And I mentioned Cena, too, because I believe starting around January, it's sometime, the NBA will be having primetime big games on Tuesdays.
Yeah.
So they're going to be having to go against NBA for their primetime games. So they're going to have to go against these head-to-head Warriors-Cavs games and so on and so forth. So there's always going to be a big sporting thing they're going to have to go against. And Joel, you know, even more so, in Canada, they're going to have to go head-to-head with the World Cup of Hockey.
Yeah.
On those Mondays. And then in a month, baseball playoffs are going to start. And those are going to take away ratings from football as well. So Mondays, you're going to have to go against World Series, playoffs, and NFL football. So don't worry about these other sports. They're going to take you out.
Oh, yeah.
They're going to beat you in the ratings. Just worry about yourself right now. Just be like, all right, we know the ratings going to drop. Let's not do anything super crazy. Let's just build people up.
Yeah, and it's not going to hurt your product at all if you take the time to build some of these people up. Because at the end of the day, I don't care if there's MLB playoffs. I don't care if there's NBA. I don't care if there's the NFL. NHL's the only thing that's going to hurt you, for me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just the way it is.
Mm-hmm.
I'm one of those fans that will be there and watch wrestling.
They're not concerned about you. No. They're concerned about me, the guy that will be watching those events and how to get him over. And the thing is, much like you don't care about those sports to go over there, I'm not really going to probably go over there because I'm going to finish my game and go back to PVR.
Yeah.
So I don't really think there's a middle ground on either side of those fans. There's the wrestling fan like you, Joel, that'll be like, I'm watching. I'm watching. And then there's going to be the fan like me who's like, I'm going to watch this game and then I'll check it out later.
Yeah.
And that's the way it's going to be.
And that's one thing where it's whatever you do, like, because we're jumping around everywhere. You have an example where you have SmackDown, where it ended kind of flat this week with just the low blow and AJ standing above. I'm not happy. I'd much rather have Dean standing on top on SmackDown because then it means Sunday is going to be a whole lot funner for us. But you know, you're going to end shows like that. You're going to have... It doesn't matter who has the title. You don't have what you had in the 90s, early 2000s.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's when you beat football. When you spanked football.
Well, I don't know if they spanked them. I've actually looked at the rank. They still... Monday night was still beating them. It just was a lot closer.
Yeah. It at the end of the day, you're never going to achieve that again. Because it was a different time. And, I mean... You had to watch things live.
Even last night, Joel, we're in Canada, and the Blue Jays are in a pennant race here. For those who care about it, I was watching the Blue Jays face the Yankees last night, and I was going to watch SmackDown after. And it never occurred to me to go watch SmackDown later. I was more concerned to see what happened to Mr. Robot later, to be completely honest.
And that's the other thing that they're going to have to battle with. There's going to be shows back that are going to draw people in, and... There'll probably be shows that'll intrigue me more than wrestling. That's going to be what's going to compete against for me.
Sunday nights, man. Sunday nights are going to be weird. I mean, even this week, you look at those two Monday night games, and they have this SmackDown-only pay-per-view, but they have the Pats versus the Cardinals. The Cardinals are a Super Bowl favorite. The Pats don't have Tom Brady, maybe no Rob Gronkowski, so people will be intrigued to see how good the Pats can do. And then in 3 weeks' time, HBO starts their lineup again with Westworld, who is probably the new Game of Thrones. So you got to think that's going to take away from a lot from that viewing as well. People are like, because I know for a fact, you and I, it does affect the rest of pay-per-view because you and I were like, we were actually set to watch Bound for Glory this year, Joel and I were. We're like, we will watch Bound for Glory, we will watch it live, and we will purchase it. And then we found out that Westworld went head-to-head with it, and we're like, well, we're watching Westworld.
Yeah, it's pretty simple. Well, it's TNA, and that's the other big thing.
Yeah, it's the thing that hurt it too. But if it was a WWE pay-per-view, I'm not going to lie, for the premiere of Westworld, let's say it went against what Night of Champions, or whatever this is called, Clash of Champions, they keep on changing it. If it had been that, I would have taken a break from the pay-per-view and watched Westworld live first.
Yeah.
Because
to see what it was like, check it out.
To see what it's like, and I think, let's be honest, that's more of a cultural experience right now, as a show like that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely one of those things where they're... WWE, like, let's cut this very long conversation short, because we're kind of going in circles now. Let's cut it very simple. There's going to be things that are going to draw us away from wrestling. Wrestling will never have the ratings it did in the Attitude Era. And that's okay, because wrestling will always be there, and I think instead of pushing the panic button right away, going, oh crap, we need to do this, we need to call him up, we need to do this crazy storyline, go, okay, this is the way it is. We're going to work to make it better and have more draws that make it more interesting for fans to tune in. And they should. They should always be working on trying to draw us in more.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact of the matter is, it's not going to happen overnight. This year's a write-off already for them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Just build your product up and build it up towards WrestleMania. That's all you can do. And that's the end. That's done.
And here's one last thing on it, Joel. The arguably the highest rated segment in Monday Night Raw history was This Is Your Life. Guess what that went head to head with?
What?
Football.
Yep.
So it has happened. It's a great excuse, but you got to build it up. And yeah, I think that was a good conversation. But we talked about Sasha. Let's talk about the positives of Sasha, though. She's not injured as badly as we thought, and she will be facing Charlotte. I don't want to get too much into a Clash of Champions preview, but I'll be blunt about the question. Do we think that this is Sasha getting the belt back?
I don't know. I haven't thought that far ahead, to be honest. I've not thought if they're putting the strap on her. It's definitely something that has crossed my mind. I mean, it just shows that WWE will change their plans on the dime, because originally Bayley beat... Dana Brooke to have a number one contendership for the title, and now that's all but forgotten. So
I totally forgot about that myself, to be honest.
Yeah. So it just shows that they change things as they go. I don't know if you want to play hot potato with that title. Like, it was a very... I personally think they should have kept the title on Sasha, especially if they were just waiting and seeing. If they had to strip her of the title, then they can do that. But I just think they may have jumped the gun.
Right.
So, I don't fully know. My gut makes me think that Sasha's going to get the title back. I'm perfectly okay with that. I'm very much pro Sasha Banks.
I would prefer Sasha got the belt back, to be honest. I think Charlotte's been great. It's weird, though. Like, so we've been talking about like the Raw Women's Division that we both believe. Well, again, I don't want to speak for you, but I think we both believe that the SmackDown Division has just been booked better. I don't want to say it's superior, but it's been booked better.
That opening segment this week on Tuesday wasn't the best.
Oh, really? I actually liked it.
You like Total Divas, so it kind of falls into that kind of...
I didn't think there was really anything Total Divas in it, because Nikki didn't come into the end.
Well, my thing is, it was very kind of catty, and these women were just kind of like...
I thought Becky stole the show. I thought Natty kind of sucked on the mic. I'll give you that.
Yeah.
Natty overacts. She's a really bad overactor.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what Brie fell into sometimes. And John Pollock has made the excuse, like, let's be honest, Total Divas is 70-30 scripted and real.
Yeah.
But when you see them on there, it comes off like it's, you know, at least the situations are real, the way they react to stuff. And it's like, why can't a Natty act more like she does in Total Divas as far as her acting than in the ring? She's very overacting in whatever she does. I thought in the ring that I thought Carmella cut a better promo than her, and I thought Bliss cut a better promo than her. And those are both rookies, and that should not be happening.
Yeah. Well, I also think some people can talk and some people can't.
Yeah, Carmella is someone that can talk.
Yeah. And that's
it. That's the highlight that she has.
That's a huge upside to her gimmick, because her wrestling's a little...
Well, I mean, we're going to get to the preview. I, right now... I may change my mind by the end. I think Carmelo's winning the belt.
No.
That's who I think is winning the belt right now, because I think they're going to go into the feud with her and Nikki for the belt.
Yeah, that's potentially where they're going, but I have a different thought. But we'll get to
that. Yeah, we'll get into that in a bit. But yeah, I can see why you didn't like it, but I thought Bliss stood out. I thought Bliss did really well on the mic, and Bliss has really impressed me quite a bit. I thought she's done really good. Naomi, you know, whatever, she's getting hers. But again, back to Raw, the women's is just kind of, it's, we're kind of seeing some stuff now. We're getting Alicia Fox versus Nia Jackson. We had Boxgate, Joel.
Yeah.
Good to Nia Jackson no sell that, by the way.
Oh yeah.
So we're gonna get Alicia Fox and Nia Jax. That'll be fine. And then we have the weird thing with that woman's title, where Sasha's gonna face Charlotte. I want Sasha to win, but again, I agree with you in the hot potato. I think we're building up to Dana versus Charlotte at maybe Survivor Series.
Yeah, I think that's where they're going, because you've seen little hints of it. So I think that,
yeah,
that's definitely where things are going for, which is perfectly okay, because you gotta have some different things here and there.
Does that mean in Survivor Series we're getting Sasha versus Bayley, maybe?
No, not this soon. No, no.
Oh, we're getting some kind of women's Survivor Series match, I would assume.
Yeah, that's probably more likely of how things are going to go. I think we're closer to Sasha Banks' heel turn.
Yeah, well, I mean, some people, if you talk to some people perceive that she came off as a heel this week. So
yeah, it was
the Miss Piggy line. I was not a big fan of, to be completely honest. I really did not like that line.
No, I didn't either. I think that's something that worked in the 2008s.
Yeah,
wasn't appropriate. Shouldn't be acceptable, but. You know, let's move past those type of lines. I guess quickly bring up the elephant in the room. The writer for the Attitude Era took offense to Sasha's line about the bra and panties. Any thoughts on it at all?
None that I can talk in short term about.
I think it's very simple. I think that Russo says whatever Russo's going to say. And you just need to go, okay, Russo, you say that. I'm just going to go over here and accept other things and not deal with what you have to say. Because, you know, those bra and panty matches are there. They'll always be talked about. They'll always be one of the first things that get shown for WWE of, like, look at how horrible they are. They're not going to focus on the 20-minute wrestling match that Bayley and Charlotte had on Monday. It's going to be focusing on the negative side of things like that. And Russo's going to defend it to the end. There's no human that could convince Russo that he's wrong.
This is a guy that wanted the whole Raw of just talking.
Yeah. So this is a guy that's going to sit there and go, this is what wrestling should be. And he's going to say stuff like this.
And look, I got to give Vince Russo credit. He was a great writer for the Attitude Era with a filter. With a filter, he's one of the greatest wrestling writers of all time. But without it, he destroyed TNA. He destroyed TNA to me. Wow. TNA was, at one point to me, was better than WWE. In 2000, from like 2005 to like 2007, TNA was a superior product in the ring. Than just almost overall than WWE was. And then he came along and just destroyed it with stupid Abyss Sting casket matches and Judas Messiah and whatever he turned Goldust into. It was bad.
Oh,
maybe
yeah.
It wasn't that long of a run, but TNA had a lot of promise. And, you know, this is a guy that didn't want the X Division and you know, what he did to WCW. I don't really talk about that because WCW was already done.
Yeah.
There was no coming back from what was Russo or not, that place was done already.
Oh yeah.
TNA was a different story because TNA was up and coming. One of the greatest matches of all time had just happened at that Unbreakable pay-per-view with Daniels, Joe, and Styles.
Yeah.
And this is the guy that didn't care about Joe, didn't care about Daniels, and didn't care about Styles.
It's funny.
I don't know if it was his idea to do the Ric Flair gimmick.
It probably was.
I didn't hate that gimmick, to be honest. I didn't hate it, but it wasn't the greatest for AJ.
No.
Anything else from Raw? I mean, week one of Kevin Owens. Pretty good so far.
Yeah.
Didn't like the Sammy match, though.
No, that was a little too soon. But KO revealed that the first person... He couldn't talk about the first person he saw through the back curtain because kayfabe. And they hate each other. But KO had described it as it's our championship in a lot of ways because to get to that point... Kevin Steen and El Generico had to kill each other in a lot of ways. So Punk Owens had described it as it's their championship because to get to that point, they had to go through a lot. So, you know,
And he was in Talking Jericho tomorrow as well.
Yeah.
After you check out our podcast, take a talk to Jericho, but check out us out first.
Yeah.
If you're listening, you did. Yay.
I mean, I have no qualms with KO being the chicken shit heel, because that's exactly what he's been. Mm-hmm. He's the prize fighter, but actually runs away a lot, which is perfectly okay. I mean, him and Jericho will eventually feud. The segment with Jericho and KO are wonderful. Jericho keeps reminding everyone that KO is the longest reigning Universal Champion ever in history. And it's just little things like that that make the two of them work so well. Seth Rollins is a babyface. What were your thoughts on that?
You know, you could start seeing in the ring a little bit, doing a few more babyface type of moves. It's only week one, more to come. Still, you know, with the crowd, still acting a little heelish with the crowd. But in the ring, you could definitely see difference, and we will see what happens.
And I mean, if you're going to wrestle a true heel, Chris Jericho is the perfect one to help transition Rollins to that face.
Mm-hmm.
What'd you think of the very end? Because we forgot about the very end of Monday Night Raw. We completely forgot about
that. No comment. I plead the fifth.
No. It's just our imagination playing tricks on us.
I guess that's their booking for Monday Night to go against football, is to have Roman versus KO in the main event. That's good. Give it to them to book something against football, but...
Yeah. And book it a week in advance. Usually they wouldn't announce this till Monday heading into it, so...
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't really know those guys have ever done one-on-one before.
I think so. They had to have.
I don't know. But either way, it's a big matchup with big stakes on the line. So, I don't know. I'm not going to be watching it live. It's not. Let's just put it this way. It's not enough of a draw for me to turn to Raw over the games.
Yeah. And I do have some sad news to report as well. It looks like Lana and Rusev are taking a 28-day honeymoon.
Oh, wow.
So, our run-in is kind of out the window, Josh.
So, he's not going to be a class of champions then?
No.
You know what's so stupid that really pisses me off? I'd never want to hear that you need to defend the title within 30 days again then.
You're going to. It's.
I hate when shit like this happens, and with Dean as well. Remember when Dean was U.S. champion and we forgot about it at times?
Yeah.
It's like, what's the point of this?
Yeah.
Like, I would have rather at least Roman won the title, just so the title's around. Like, Roman's going to be like, I'm back! I guess, were they trying to set up an injury angle then? Like, the Cass hurt him? I don't know, man. That's weird. I'm happy for Lana and Rusev, though. That's awesome.
Yeah.
And most of it is... I mean, the thing for them is, too, they're getting paid because some of this is shot for Total Divas.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
I'm assuming. I think the agreement was... that the American wedding was shot for Total Divas, and they would get their own, but I'd have to assume some of this is for Total Divas as well.
I believe so,
Which we still don't have a date for, but... Ruru and Total Divas will be everything, man. That'll be everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know you're ready to see Ruru.
Oh, yeah. I think I'm excited to see what he's like. What else out there? SmackDown.
I don't think there's... Yeah, SmackDown.
AJ Styles as a heel, throwing phones around, wearing his trophy on his shoulder.
AJ is great. Dean, not so much.
I'm ready for AJ Styles to be a world
champion. Dean has X-Pac heat for me.
Doesn't have that for me, but I'm still ready. I'm a bigger AJ Styles fan than Dean Ambrose, so I'm ready for...
Yes, and I mean, when people hear that, X-Pac is super talented. Sean Waltman's one of the more talented the guys in the roster. It doesn't mean you're not talented. I think people get that misconstrued sometimes. They think, oh, that means that they're not talented and they have that. No. He's talented. X-Pac was a talented wrestler. He just was like, people were sick of him. I'm sick of Dean Ambrose and being a goof. I was really liking what he was doing with Dolph Ziggler. He was more serious. He was more focused. And now he's just being a goof again.
Yeah.
And I just don't have time. It's not good comedy. It's not as bad as what Enzo and Cass did with the stupid labor segment or the old day segment. There's some really bad WWE comedy this week. Like, really cringeworthy, makes you high to not want to be tell people you're a wrestling fan bad comedy.
Yeah. Vince McMahon and his comedy just keep shining through.
And this AJ and Dean build, there's nothing to it, really, to me. It's they've kicked each other in the nuts, more or less.
Yeah.
Great. So it's Rochambeau, and now the title. Hooray.
Yeah, it's not been anything great or special, so...
The only hype is that, like, hopefully AJ wins. That's it. And, you know, the way that, like you said, the way that their booking dictates things, we don't know if AJ will win. Because normally they like to have the one guy that's going to lose, you know, in that last segment, he looks strong.
Yeah, so...
It's rare that the guy looks strong and then wins, but, I mean, we'll have to see.
Yeah, maybe they'll swerve us. Hopefully they swerve us. The other big thing from SmackDown I think that we need to hit
Gable.
On is Alpha.
Yeah.
Alpha will not be the first ever champions.
And the Usos turned heel, which was about time. Good look on them. I like what they've done.
Yep, I thought a decent promo. I think having the Usos versus Mojo Riley, have Usos win, and then Usos kill the dream of Slater and Rhino just generates more heel heat for them. So when Alpha does come back and Alpha does challenge for the titles, it's a good storyline. It's a good storyline. I think a lot of people thought, oh, well, Alpha's just going to win. Now there's a little wrinkle to it that I think is... perfect. I love it. I think it's a great way to tell the story.
Mm-hmm. So who does that mean that Slater and Rhino are facing?
Whoever wins between the Usos and Mojo and...
So the Hype Bros.
Yeah,
okay.
Hype Bros.
So it'll be the Usos.
Yeah, it's going to be the Usos. Usos are going to win the championship. So that SmackDown moved very smoothly for me. I enjoyed it. I thought... Cruz continues to show that he's good in ring. Mm-hmm. You know, I thought Alpha gets...
And so much for Miz and Bryan not being in any segments together. That lasted, what, 1 week?
Yeah, they're going to just keep going to that, because that generates some buzz.
I haven't seen Talking Smack yet. Did you see it?
No, I haven't seen it yet.
It doesn't sound like there was any highlights, so...
No. I think CWC. We got the Final Four, so we got...
I mean, this was the first week where it was like, these matches are good, but nothing blew me away.
Yeah.
It was just like, good. I mean, although the finisher and the Zack Sabre match was intense.
Yeah.
Noah and Dar finally impressed me, by the way. I have been very bleak on him.
Yeah.
Really impressed me in this match. I thought he really stood out in this game. I'm excited to see him come on to Raw.
Yeah. Now, let's, because as the podcast begins to unwind, because there is food in this world that I must eat. The Final Four. So next week we have the Final Four of Zach versus Metalik and Perkins versus Kota, and then we have the final match.
And we have Gargano and Ciampa in an unknown tag match.
Yeah. So who advances to the finals? Let's just get that out of the way now.
Sabre and Kota.
So we're still going.
There's no way Metalik is making the finals. Come on.
I'm gonna go the opposite of you. I'm gonna go Metalik versus Perkins.
I think they're gonna go Sabre and Kota because that's the best match. That's the match that people want to see. No one wants to see Metalik versus Perkins. We're gonna see that on Raw.
Yeah.
People want to see Zack Sabre versus Kota. It's a dream match.
You know what? Let me scratch that. I think it'll be Sabre versus Perkins.
That's better, but I think that they're going to give you the match. That's the match everyone wants to see. They want to see Zack Sabre and Kota. I mean, I'll agree with you. They like to swerve people, but that's the match people want to see. To me, if it's not that match, I'm sure it'll be a great match whatever the final is, but if it's not that match, I will be a little deflated, a little upset.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting because two guys have signed with WWE, two guys haven't. That plays a big role in this.
For sure.
So I think that... I think we're going to get a mix. I think there's going to be an upset. I wouldn't be shocked if it's Metalik versus Kota, because then you can kind of... it's something weird. I've got a weird feeling about Metalik right now, so I think they
may... What's that? That he may win?
Yeah.
I just can't see him in the finals, man.
No.
Just can't.
I don't know. It's going to be very interesting, but I do think ultimately my to win it all.
But you're rooting for Saber versus Kota just as the dream match. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. 100%. You'd be crazy not to. But I think in reality, I think
Perkins... I think they're trying to, with these names that they gave to Raw, they're trying to trick you a little bit to be like, oh, well, Kota and Zack aren't on that list, so there's no way they make the finals. I'm going to go the opposite way on that.
Yeah.
I think it's a swerve within a swerve within a swerve.
I think Perkins... My pick to win is Perkins. Who do you have winning it all?
Kota.
Kota? Okay.
Yeah.
We will see. And
he's been the best in the tournament. He's been the MVP. He's been the best competitor, period, in the tournament. I would say second is Perkins. So it's, to me, whoever wins that match is winning the tournament, to me.
Yeah, that's totally fair. Switching gears to NXT.
Really quickly, like, if I did the top four, I would go Kota, Perkins, Metalik, and then Saber. I don't think Saber's winning it.
No. I don't think
so. But I think he could go to the finals, just because, you know, if he does want to, like, we know that he's not signing, but he wants to come back, so they at least want to make him strong, and you have him go to the finals, and you can tell his story next year. He's like, I was there, and now I'm here to win it this year.
Yeah, I definitely think there's going to be more stories told as we go along, and I think it does help for next year, because this will be back, because this has been a huge success for WWE.
Mm-hmm.
NXT...
Ember Moon look good?
Yeah, Ember Moon, El Sombra. I'm just going to call him El Sombra. That was his name on the indies. I think he's kind of on...
That's what I was saying. He's Apollo Crews level for NXT. Like, I don't know what they're doing with him. Austin Aries is starting to look really good. They're really building him up, and I'm really excited to see him and Hideo. A little spoiler here. It looks like Joel and I will be heading to Toronto for NXT, and I'm really hoping that we get to see that match live. I hope they can hold it off for 2 months for Hideo and Austin Aries.
I think so. I mean, let's see GTS live.
That'd be amazing. And I think they've done a better job. I think personally they've done a better job with No Way Jose than they've done with Cien Almas, because No Way Jose lost, but I still feel like he's one of the bigger competitors in NXT that I want to see.
Yeah, he's shown
is just like almost a jobber to me. Like, I don't know, like, he's better in ring, but to me he's like the same level as a Steve Cutler. Like, if he goes in the ring with Nakamura, of course they're going to have a better match, but he's going to lose. Like, I wouldn't suspend disbelief that he could maybe beat Nakamura or Joe.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I think he's going to need a little bit of NXT rehab, but you're in NXT for that reason. So, I think there's a little bit of time and leeway to help bring him back to a certain level.
I thought this was the episode with the beatdown, but apparently it wasn't. I just kind of expected it to happen, that Joe was going to come beat him down, but... Knocked did his match. Again, what did you think of Steve Cutler? Because I've talked about him three times now.
He's okay. He's there.
He's never going to the main roster, mark my words.
No. I think some of the fans in NXT will make it to the main roster before he does.
Yeah. I mean, you can only have Ty Dillinger face Knock so many times.
Yeah. You gotta switch it up every once in a while.
For sure. I thought it was fine. It was kind of a boring NXT, wasn't I? TM61 still is unimpressive to me.
Yeah, but I think they're going to be the next
tag champs.
Yeah, because Gargano and Ciampa are moving on out.
Now, from what you explained to me, though, so they have this match. What do you think the match is that they're going to have? Do you think it'll be are we thinking it's going to be Cedric and maybe Rich Swann?
Possibly.
Or do you mean they can face or is it the Bollywoods?
I don't think
Bollywoods face the Samoan.
Yeah, Bollywood will face the Samoans. But I think that
we already saw like a picture of that, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think Gargano and Ciampa will face a mishmash of Cedric and
Blank.
Swan.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking. Just kind of show off those guys that are going to be on Monday Night Raw. So,
And then you maybe have like because it's so that means you have that match, that's three matches. Maybe they'll tease the tag team tournament that we've heard about, or maybe they tag team the women's tournament that we've heard, both of possibilities. And also they're going to showcase the talent that's going to be going to Raw, obviously.
Yeah. I think we're going to get a tease, and I also think we're going to get a showcasing of talent, which mm-hmm. is cool. I'm perfectly happy with that.
For sure. It's going to be sad, though, in a way. It's sad that this will be the last Wednesday with CWC.
Yeah, but it will be back next year, and it might ricochet around a little bit.
Yeah, let's get into that.
So Ricochet has opted to not re-sign with Lucha Underground, and they will be...
They started Season 3 this week.
Yeah, Season 3. So once Season 3 is done, Prince Puma, Ricochet is clear to show up anywhere on TV, so take that for what you will.
Well, let me see how long the season is, because their seasons go kind of long.
Yeah, so it won't be until mid-2017 that we may see a Ricochet appear elsewhere.
Yeah, and they don't have an exact end of date, but so we will see what happens. Yeah. I know Rey Mysterio is on this card, and Sexy Star is on this card, and their champion, Matanza Cueto. We're not going to watch, I'm sorry. It's not really a way to watch it in Canada.
I thought it was on...
It's a season behind.
Oh.
So it's kind of like, you're hearing everything that's happened, but it's a season behind.
Oh.
Ooh. Yeah. The Fight Network here, is that the one thing the Fight Network doesn't have yet.
Oh, well.
And if you think like Broken Matt Hardy stuff is out of whack, to see some Lucha Underground stuff.
Yeah. It would be neat to kind of see something else, but...
Is Ray? How long is Ray with them?
I think Ray's there for a bit.
Okay.
What else is there? Before we get to the Backlash card, which will be how we cap the show off, or at least partially how we cap the show off.
Yeah.
Paige has apparently got some legal representation, and it doesn't look like her future in the WWE is good.
Well, I was going to read up the story. So Mark Carano had gone and threatened her that if she didn't broke out with Del Rio, that they would fire her.
That just seems like it seems like something WWE would do, admittedly.
Which you can't do!
Yeah, well, this is the WWE where...
So, but then the law was talking about... She makes almost... I don't know. I think that she's almost making more money from Total Divas now. I don't know. Yeah. But that's almost more of what she's known for is Total Divas now than wrestling.
Yeah.
We see more of her on Total Divas, let's be honest.
Oh, yeah.
So I wonder what the deal will be going into this season of Total Divas with her. Because she has two contracts. She has the Total Divas contract, and she has that WWE contract. So it'll be interesting. What have you heard about the legal representation? Because right now she's suspended / hurts.
Yeah, it seems like her future looks very bleak with the company, and this legal mm-hmm. representation is to help push that forward.
Same legal representation that Del Rio had?
I believe so. I can see it being the same, but I don't have that.
And by the way that he got out of his contract, as soon as the suspension's over, he's free to go wherever he wants.
Wow.
Yeah, so he could technically show up at Bound for Glory if he wanted to.
I don't think they have the money for Del Rio.
Well, apparently since Billy Corgan has... Join, the wallet has opened up.
Well, that's good at least, so yeah.
That's why they had God and Moose and Aaron Rex and apparently Cody Rhodes.
Yeah.
Billy Corgan has opened his wallet, so we could maybe see Del Rio down there. I would assume more in Mexico or Ring of Honor, but you never know. Yeah.
And I guess, now it's time to get some backlash. There's some backlash for the situation with Paige, and now there's Backlash for 2016.
So the first brand exclusive pay-per-view.
Woo! So let's start it off with the Intercontinental title being defended by The Miz versus Dolph Ziggler.
Miz,
yeah, pretty simple.
Want him to beat Honky Tonk Man. I'm going to pick him every week because I want him to beat Honky Tonk's record.
I certainly don't blame you, and I agree. The next match we've got is the Viper, Randy Orton, versus the Eater of Worlds, Bray Wyatt.
It should be Bray. It should be Bray, but it's going to be Randy.
Yeah, Randy's going to win. We have the Usos versus
the Hype Bros.
And
Usos.
And then Usos versus Heath Slater and Rhino. Sorry, your seven kids are not going to have that.
Problem. I'm picking Slater and Rhino.
I'm picking Usos.
I'm picking Slater and Rhino. It makes more sense storyline-wise. You get Uso versus American Alpha.
Yeah.
But I'm going to go with Slater just to be different.
Yeah, that's fair.
I'm just one man.
Yeah, I'd love to see Slater win and get that contract. That'd be a cool moment, but more heel heat for the Usos.
Mm-hmm.
We got a six-pack challenge for the WWE SmackDown Women's Championship. Alexa Bliss versus Becky Lynch versus Carmella, Naomi, Natalya, and Nikki Bella.
I'm going to stay with my pick. I think Carmella's going to win and start a feud with Nikki. I think the right choice is Becky, and I'm rooting for Becky to win it.
Yeah. I'm going with Becky. I think it's her time to cash
in. Who's the feud, though? Who's the feud with?
It would probably be Natty. That would be where I...
Don't get me wrong. I hope that... I think Becky deserves to win it. I just think that they're going to go that way and then ultimately have Nikki win the belt from Carmella.
Yeah. Nikki is getting the title at one point, for sure.
Yes, yes.
And the Bella trophy has been presented, so...
The best live ever.
The final match for the 2016 Backlash, the phenomenal AJ Styles versus the lunatic fringe Dean Ambrose.
I am going to pick with my heart and say AJ Styles.
I'm going to go with my heart as well and go AJ. I want him to win. He deserves it.
Putting the positive energy out there.
Definitely. If we say it enough times, it has to happen, right?
Mm-hmm.
CM Punk returns. AJ Styles wins the WWE World Championship. That's how things work, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Woo. Woo.
So while we were talking, just to kind of go back here really quickly, I pulled up the Monday Night Football ratings, first Monday Night Raw. It's always been slaughtered by football. You go back to the Attitude Era, Joel. You had Austin versus McMahon, and it was a 12.7 for football against a 4.0. And at the height of the Attitude Era, the Rock, This Is Your Life, did a 6.8. I was wrong. I had read that it had beat it, so I was wrong. So it did a 6.8. Cardinals Niners did 13.3.
So now what's the big deal about football then? If you've never beaten it, then why... I'm not even jumping down this hole. I'm walking.
Yeah, you look... Like, obviously, too, it's kind of sad if you look at the ratings here. You look at where the Attitude Era started up and at fives and fours, and this goes to 2005 all the way to Eddie Guerrero's tribute show, which was a 4.5 against a Cowboy-Eagle game that did 12.4. So realistically, it's a terrible excuse. It's never even came close to beating it. The closest it came was the This Is Your Life segment, and it still got doubled from football. So it's never been an excuse to – it's not even worth discussing.
Yeah.
We were going to go over the schedule and say the head-to-heads. It's not worth discussing because it's going to lose. And there's times on here – the only time Monday Night Football had ever been affected was to those baseball playoffs.
Jeez, yeah. No,
and that's like, and there was one where the football rating had dropped to an 8, which was the lowest, but it went against like a Yankee series.
That explains that.
But the Raw rating didn't really get affected by it. The Raw stayed where it was. So to me, it seems like the wrestling fans are going to watch, and there'll be a few of those that are football fans like myself that won't watch.
Yeah.
But for the most part, you're going to kind of keep that core audience, so I just think it's a poor excuse.
Yeah. I know how we're that. Instead of ending on that note,
That's all I wanted to say about that. Just to end that conversation, because I've always found it very interesting, and we always hear so much about like, oh, well, football's coming, the ratings are going to fall. Well, they've been falling since your pinnacle.
That pretty much puts a pin in that. That's
good. Yeah.
To end on a positive note, Will Ospreay got 5 stars from Dave Meltzer.
For? Pro Wrestling Guerrilla?
Ebola.
That nobody has seen?
Nobody has seen, but eventually we will watch. It got 5 stars from Dave Meltzer. And you can see a picture of Dave Meltzer jumping up and down and marking out and his jaw hanging. So
mm-hmm.
Uncle Dave gave the Bucks 5 stars.
Who's Uncle? Oh, I should say, I was like, I've never heard him be called that before.
The Bucks have called him Uncle Dave several times.
Oh, okay.
And yeah, I think that's a good way to end the podcast. 5 stars for a Bola match that no one's seen yet, but we will eventually.
Eventually, yeah, hopefully. And Ryback podcast this week update. Nothing really, just talked about being in OVW, getting fired, and kind of what he did in between before coming back to developmental. So he seems to have done the first podcast to talk about what went wrong and why he left. And now it's kind of starting at the beginning, and we're going to build up all the way up to there. So it's worth a listen. Highly suggested if you're listening to something. Kevin Owens is going to be on Jericho. Jesse Ventura was on Jericho. That was a very interesting podcast, the Week of Wrestling podcast. And you got us here at One Fall. We will be maybe back with the Backlash recap. I don't know. It depends how big of a deal it is.
Yeah.
If AJ wins, probably. If AJ doesn't win, honestly, probably not.
No. We'll just spend like 2 hours talking about AJ Styles.
Yeah. So, and the 2K video game trailer came out. It looked awesome.
Very excited for that game. And it has AJ in it. You know who they didn't feature in that trailer a whole lot quickly? Roman Reigns.
I was going to say, you know the only way they mentioned... Roman just got punched out by Rusev. That's it.
Rusev and pedigreed by Hunter.
Carmella, I think, had more overall time than Roman did.
What does that say? I think that says at least something small.
Well, because I know at least for the NBA game, they're given guys that they need to showcase.
Yeah.
Right? So you have guys in big markets. So Lakers that aren't going to have – the Lakers aren't going to be a big team this year, but they'll showcase them. And the WWE's like, these are the guys we want to showcase.
AJ got shown a lot.
Yeah, so AJ got showed a little bit like a lot of Apollo, too, actually, if you look at it. There's a lot of Apollo. So there was no Nia Jax in there, but Strowman was in there. Strowman had more time than Roman did. Cena, obviously, but Cena wasn't all over it, just Cena was in it.
Yeah.
So you can, like, AJ was probably, other than Brock and Goldberg, probably seen the most.
Yeah.
And Sasha. Sasha was quite a bit as well.
Yeah. So what does that tell you?
Yeah, it tells you, KO. KO and Sammy.
Yeah. A lot of Sammy, so I was happy to see that.
Really good trailer.
Well worth.
Great trailer. Luckily for us, not a crazy big week. And we'll see what happens with CM Punk. We'll see what happens with AJ Styles. It's weird, though, talking about them in different sports.
Yeah, it's weird because it's weird. It's just weird. That's all I'm going to say.
So until next time, cheers.
I want to both of these.
Enjoy the day, people.